Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the Father has loved me, says Jesus to his disciples, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us in abundant grace and never-ending love this morning and always. Amen. I have been thinking a lot about my family this week. You see, we are gathering in just a few short hours to celebrate for a week the 50th wedding anniversary of my parents back in May. We're taking off to Duluth, all renting a great big house to stay together for several days and have lots of fun, and then coming back to Minneapolis to throw a big party. Something my family loves to do. Gather together and then throw a big party. Dwell in our love and then share that love with everyone else. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of preparation that goes into a gathering and a week of festivities like this. So you clean, and you clean some more, and then you clean some more. And as you can imagine, often preparing for events like this can become a little fraught, right? This weekend has been a stressful weekend in my house, what we call a screamy weekend. Children bereft of the attention of their parents, parents trying to get everything done as quickly and as thoroughly as possible. Temperatures were high outside and in. I am blessed, though, to come from a loving family, a vociferous and affectionate, loving family. We say, I love you to one another frequently. In fact, we never get off the phone with each other without saying, I love you. Whether it's my siblings or my parents or our nieces and nephews and kids and spouses, we give voice to our love, and we are also very affectionate. We are hugging people, hand-holding people, kissing people. We are full of love. I am so blessed and lucky to come from an environment like this. And the reason that the environment I come from like this is because, well, we were taught to be this way. Taught through the example of my parents, 50 years into their marriage, and they still act like teenagers. I won't go into too much detail right here, but let's just say the fact that these two are passionate for one another is still very clear. And it's a skill, a practice, a lifestyle I have taught or strived to teach my own kids as well. In spite of our screamy weekend this weekend, I am filled with reassurance that maybe I'm not screwing up this whole parenting thing when my kids, out of the blue, tell me that they love me, tell their mom that they love her, tell each other that they love each other. My daughter, Loanna, often says to me, "I love you, Daddy." And I say, "I love you too, sweet girl." And she goes, "I love you too, Daddy. I love you too, Daddy." "This is my commandment," Jesus says to his disciples, "that you love one another as I have loved you." This commandment is first given and then reiterated in the verses that we have here immediately after Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Immediately after Judas has left that group and gone to do what he was going to do. This act of foot washing that Jesus has in these final moments with his disciples is a profound and radical act of love. A radical act of love which undermines and overthrows power dynamics, gender norms, and even the understanding of who should receive love. You see, the passage we have is simply the reiteration of what he says before, but the foot washing happens before Judas leaves the group. As Judas walks away, Jesus reminds the disciples that they have been created in love and called to share that love. Jesus washes the feet of and gives love to his followers, his students, his partners in ministry, his friends, his supporters, but also his deniers, his betrayer, his enemies, his community, which includes all. This new commandment that Jesus gives to his disciples is yet another expression of that same radical love. This new commandment brings a different understanding than that of the golden rule or the commandment we hear in Matthew and Luke to love your neighbor as yourself. We said it this morning even in our confession. This is a new understanding, though, of how we are called to love. My professor from Luther Seminary, Craig Kester, writes in his book, The Word of Life, A Theology of John's Gospel, he writes, "First, the basis and norm for love changes in this new commandment. The traditional commandment makes self-love the standard. People are to love others as they love themselves. In the new commandment, the basis and standard is the love that Jesus gives. This is the cruciform love that disciples receive from Jesus and extend to others. The new commandment speaks about what it means to live out one's relationship with Jesus. And secondly, the direction of that love changes. The traditional commandment speaks of love for the neighbor, But the new commandment refers to love for one another. It envisions mutuality. It is a community-building commandment as people give and receive love from one another. A community is formed. The new commandment recognizes that Jesus' followers need to continue receiving love even as they give love. The giving and receiving of love within the community enables them to continue on the path of discipleship. As Pastor Rory mentioned earlier this month, we have been exploring these questions of identity, these questions of who, what, when, where, and why we are Christ the King, why we are followers of Jesus, why we are God's church in the world. And today's question is why. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and we did these exercises of who, what, when, where, and why, I always got nervous about why. Who, well, that's pretty easy. What, well, that's kind of specific. When and where, well, yeah, that's clearly documented right here in front of me in my book. I can find that, but why? 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 Why are we Christ the King? Why are we followers of Jesus? Why do we engage day after day, week after week with this scripture and this work of humble service and justice seeking and all of those things we talked about at that baptism last week? Why? Love. It's as simple and clear as that. I joked at staff meeting this week when we read this text together. I said, well, I might not even write a sermon. We'll just read this in multiple translations. It's pretty clear. Love. We are created and called to be a community centered in love, gathered together and sent out to share in that mutual love with one another. This is the base of it all. My personal hero, Fred Rogers, TV's Mr. Rogers. You've heard me talk about him quite a bit by now. Mr. Rogers has this to say about love. He says that love isn't simply a feeling that we have or an emotional response to something. He says, no, it is an active noun. Like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way they are right here and now. To strive. Love. A struggle. Seems like an apt comparison. At least it does for me this weekend and all the stress and preparation and non-cooperation or too much cooperation or headbutting that has happened in my house this weekend. And let me say to my kids at home, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the screaming. We're going to have some fun now, I promise. Love is hard. In this divisive world, with many differences of opinion and ways of acting and how we feel about the ways people act, with our quirks and our qualms, difficulty abounds. We can often find ourselves in a screamy weekend. And yet, this struggle is the struggle we are called into, this love. Because we are always, always, always the better for it. It is in this state of active nouning, this loving, that we are ultimately changed and how we can actively and impactfully change the lives of those around us. Hate is insidious. Feelings of distrust, complaint or judgment are easy, too easy, too satisfying somehow. And yet, love changes in a deeper way, a more profound way, and in a lasting way. My parents celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary with us, their kids, and their friends this week. Not because those 50 years have been easy, but because those 50 years are worthy of celebration. The work that it has taken, the sorrows and joys, the struggles and the victories. Love has changed who my parents are. And that love has changed who I am. But that love that we celebrate is what brings us together, not only in my family as a family, but in this family. The Christ the King family is brought together not because of the opinions that we hold, not because of the dogma that we ascribe to, not because of what I believe or you believe or somebody else believes, but because of the love that we share, a love that comes from God. My professor, Craig Kester, says again in that same book, Jesus says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The command to love one another means that Christians bring to the world not only a doctrine about love, but an alternative society, a counterculture in which the message of Jesus takes lived form. Christian community is not an end in itself. The love that is shared within it is a form of witness to those outside it, so that the world may know that the love of God is real. I know that the week ahead will be a wonderful time for my family, my brother, my sister and their families, my wife and kids, my mom and my dad, filled with love and laughter and fun and family. And I know that it will also be stressful, with a little bit of bickering, probably some tears, hopefully not too many, and maybe even a little bit screamy. And I know that the days and weeks, months and years ahead for the church, both broadly and here at CTKB, will be like that too. As we seek to rediscover and find new ways to express who we are, what, when, and where we are, we will have our moments of difficulty and challenge. But I know that we will do well in this hard work. Why? There it is again. Why? Because of the great love we share for one another. A love which comes first from the God who chose us. A love that begets more love, which begets more love, which begets more love. As Loanna says, I love you, Daddy. And I say, I love you too. And she says, I love you too. Love is the answer to the question why we are here today. Love is the answer to the question of who we are, where we are, when we are, what we are, what, why we are. Love is it. It's just that simple and hard. But boy, there's nothing like love. Amen.